The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
My, how things have changed in just a week. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher on the Ain't No Fang Podcast. Guys, a week ago, this team was much, much different than they are today. The Arizona Diamondbacks on an 8-game losing streak, and we quickly approached the trade deadline. We're going to get into that a little bit more here in the probably the second portion of this podcast. But how can you not start with what's going on in the world and what's going on in our country and what's going on now in baseball and all across sports as athletes in professional leagues have started to represent themselves and a movement on the field by choosing not to play, including the Arizona Diamondbacks yesterday making the decision along with the Rockies to not play the game out of respect to a movement for racial justice, something that is desperately needed in this country. Let's start with the statement that the team put out regarding why the Rockies and the Diamondbacks last night decided not to play their game.
Okay, I have the statement in front of me right here. This is from the D-backs yesterday. Quote, "Our players were prepared to play today's game against the Colorado Rockies. After team meetings regarding plans to voice their support of social justice and equality, the decision was made to wear our black jerseys and make donations to causes that defend that mission. The Rockies then notified us of their decision to not play in the contest. We are confident the execution of our plan would have represented our support of complete and total equity while providing impact and driving awareness of this ongoing organizational priority." End quote.
What do you think of that?
What a terrible message. What a terrible message. I mean, first of all, talk about throwing the Rockies under the bus in the situation. Just as far as blame goes, if people are mad that the game didn't get played, they basically address in that statement, it's not our fault. We were ready to go. We talked about it and we decided we were going to make a contribution to a cause and we were going to wear our black jerseys. That's how we were going to support this movement. Meanwhile, the Rockies made their decision, and they said several times how much they respected and agreed with the Rockies' decision verbally during the press conferences yesterday. Archie Bradley appeared twice, once before the decision to cancel the game was made, and then once with John Jay afterwards, where they discussed what the timeline was and what the decision was. During that portion of the press conference with us, Archie made it really well known that the Diamondbacks were also talking about what they would do and if they should cancel the game.
Yeah,
he was almost trying to like make it known that it wasn't just the Rockies, that it was them also having the same discussion in their locker room, and that once they knew that the Rockies weren't going to play, it was easy for them to agree with the decision and also make it known that they weren't going to play either and make the reason known why they weren't going to play. This press release, this statement, it contradicts all of that. You know, it makes it sound like the Diamondbacks in no way, shape, or form had any plan on not playing and thought that by wearing some black jerseys and making a contribution to a cause was a sufficient enough gesture to kind of bring attention to this racial inequality that we have in this country. It's not even inequality. It's a recent, you know, just kind of wave of violence that we've been able to see through videos and things of people losing their lives in altercations with police officers. And most of the time they're black. And that's the reason why this is getting out of control. We've had, you know, these discussions, we've been doing this almost as long as the COVID thing has been going on, where people are fed up and they're tired of it. MLB teams weren't really setting the bar the same way other sports teams were. It was weird the way that MLB teams yesterday and the day before were half-heartedly canceling games, some games canceling, some teams making a statement, other teams not making a statement. Just the whole thing has been mishandled because MLB as a whole is an organization. They should have been able to have an emergency meeting and get everybody on the same page and kind of just do this in one day if they, you know, so that it showed a solidarity amongst the league and everything. It shouldn't have just been, you know, teams with a connection to what was happening in Wisconsin or teams in that area. It shouldn't have been just teams with black players, or it shouldn't have been just the black players on some teams. You know, I think Colorado, you guys were saying, made that statement. I missed that, but they said that they made a mistake by not standing with Matt Kemp, and that was the reason for them deciding not to play yesterday against the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, it was shortstop Trevor Story that said on a Zoom press conference that they made, basically like what you said, a loose quote, they made a mistake when Matt Kemp came out on his Instagram page and said, I'm not playing tonight. They should have just not played on Wednesday. And they kind of regretted not standing beside Matt Kemp, their teammate, and playing the game anyway. And so that, I think that contributed a lot. Just hearing Trevor's story, that contributed a lot to why they chose not to play last night.
It's a difficult decision. Sure. I understand that. These players don't understand the ramifications of their actions for deciding not to play. They don't understand how they're going to be punished. They don't understand what's going to happen to the team or if the games are going to need to be made up. There's a lot of things that they don't know. So that can explain how intrepid some teams are about pursuing canceling a game or doing a walkout or anything like that. But then on the other hand, you have what happened with like the Mets and the Marlins, where it was a very coordinated gesture, almost too much in a way, to honor and to bring attention to honor, I guess is the wrong word, but to bring attention to and to make people understand that they are as fed up with this as everybody else and that they wanted to make a public statement about it. But it was weird the way they took the field and, you know.
I'm guessing it was mainly the Mets are on SNY, which is a pretty big network. Mm-hmm. And by taking the field like they were going to play, that was on the broadcast. That was being broadcasted live. And they were able to get their message across live on the air in front of people who are ready to watch a baseball game probably. And so I get that sentiment. It was kind of weird that, you know, the umpires took the field. Everyone took the field in their full gear. And everything, and then they came off. They observed a 42-second moment of silence in honor of Jackie Robinson, which today is 2020 COVID-19 MLB season Jackie Robinson Day. And after that 42-second moment of silence, they left the field, and they left a Black Lives Matter t-shirt over home plate. It was just kind of weird for me. What I thought was kind of strange was the lack of, I don't know what the word is, but a united type of way to show what they wanted to do across baseball. Like you said, Derek, there were teams yesterday that didn't play and they played on Wednesday. And some of them you can't fault because some of them are Eastern teams and the Milwaukee Bucks hadn't boycotted their NBA playoff game until after those teams were done playing. And then they took the next day off.
Sure.
But then on Thursday, there were teams like the Cardinals that still played, the Cubs still played. You know, it was just kind of strange. And some players are not happy that their teams were still playing, like Jack Flaherty from the St. Louis Cardinals. He was not happy that there were teams still playing on Thursday when other teams had decided to sit out. And there's just that lack of unity in MLB.
Really, it is.
And it was really strange to see some of those. And with the D-backs statement too, it's just, I just, when I read that, I originally thought, they're basically saying, well, we wanted to play baseball, but those Rockies decided not to.
Right.
And we were ready to play baseball for the fans and stuff. And it was just kind of strange to me. I don't know what they really meant behind it, but it was just weird.
It's not hard to condemn the loss of life that has happened in Wisconsin. It's not hard to say the things that have happened are wrong. It's not hard to say that things need to change. And that's what I felt like was missing from that message. You're telling people you're not going to play. You're telling people what your actions were going to be. But at no point is there that reinforcement that we stand for racial equality, or stand against racial inequality. We stand against these actions or whatever. It's just weird how in this modern day, people are finding it hard to even take a side when it comes to something as easy as let's not unjustly kill people. That, you know, during these altercations, let's not look the other way when people are murdered, even if it's by a police officer. Let's start holding people a little bit more accountable for actions and not just letting people get away with it when, you know, especially it seems like the more attention it's brought to it, the more it's happening. It's just hard. Sports is, you know, the one thing that can make a big impact because people turn away from this kind of terrible stuff happening in the world and they turn to sports. And that's the reason why it's so important for sports to be involved in this and to make their position known and to make that awareness known that it's you know, something that sports aren't going to tolerate. This goes back to that whole thing about sports being a reward for a functioning society. We aren't functioning right now. We aren't functioning properly. We're not functioning with this COVID situation. We're not functioning in society. Things are deteriorating quickly. And I think that that's a big reason why it's, you know, these teams walking out is important and why that message is important.
I would have liked to have seen a more, I don't know if sensitive is the word, maybe emotional response in the Diamondbacks press release.
Yeah.
Especially considering the geography of this team. Seeing as how the fan base for the Arizona Diamondbacks does not equal the fan base of other teams around the league when it comes to ethnicity and race. This team has a lot of Hispanic fans, mm-hmm. whether they're from Mexico or they're from Arizona of Mexican descent or whatever the case may be. You know, there's only a handful of teams around baseball that I feel that way about, that their fan bases are particularly diverse.
Sure.
The Diamondbacks, probably the Marlins.
Yeah. Dodgers.
You know,
Dodgers.
Yeah, teams like that.
Texas Rangers, things.
Sure.
You know, close to, obviously, the border and right. in the Southwest and such, right?
And yeah, you're right. I do typically feel that the Diamondbacks represent that pretty well, especially with the way that the team is made up currently. Where you have a lot of their prominent position players, especially, are of Hispanic descent.
Right.
I think of David Peralta, Ketel Marte, Eduardo Escobar. I mean, there's a lot of great players like that. So I just would have liked to have felt more read that.
Because it's not just about Black lives mattering. It is about the lives of Hispanic people, too. It's the lives
minority
of minorities.
Keys. Yeah.
Minorities. It's you know, LGBTQ community. There's just a lot of still hate against people that are minorities, and the bigger problem is the way that people look away or give a pass to somebody being, you know, basically killed and not questioning what happened behind that, right? We are here in Phoenix, so yeah, we see that a lot with the Hispanic community, and it's a problem at times here. It's a minority thing. It's just something that I agree with you 100%. It's not it's not just because it's Black Lives Matter and everything. It's standing for racial equality as a whole, you know, and MLB already has a problem with that at times. MLB's already been seen as caring less than other leagues tend to care. This situation kind of falls into that category. I was impressed with their stance when baseball returned. The MLB logo, but as Black Lives Matter, the BLM that they were putting on like the mound and stuff, I felt like they were being pretty progressive compared to what, you know, I expected to see out of baseball. In the face of something like this is where it shows your true colors, though. And I agree with Bear. The lack of unity was disappointing, and I know it couldn't be, but just a unified message from baseball as an organization and the teams, as well as, you know, like you said, the message from the Diamondbacks. It definitely could have been easier, and it could have been more about the situation instead of being more about, you know, whose decision it was to not play and what they were prepared to do instead of not play. Also, that line about feeling like what they were going to do was going to be sufficient, you know, that's the part that I'm like, really? You had to put that in there, too? You had to basically say, like,
they were trying to justify that wearing black jerseys was going to send a particular message. And I'll be honest, when I read the statement, and if you split up each of the things they say that they're going to do, wearing black jerseys to me is probably least among them in terms of impact.
Right.
Because if I had tuned into the game last night, not having seen their statement, not having seen that there was a chance they'd cancel the game, if they had played last night and I tuned into the game and they were wearing black jerseys, I probably wouldn't have thought, the first thing in my head would not have been, oh, they're wearing black to support Black Lives Matter or the movement. I would not have thought of that.
When I saw I saw a clip from Fox Sports Arizona with Nick Ahmed and Daniel Murphy out on the field talking to each other, I think each of them are the player representatives to the Players Association. And Nick Ahmed was wearing the black jersey. And I'm like, it's Thursday. Why are they wearing that? That was just my thought.
The most you thought of.
Right. Don't get me wrong, though. It's cool, and I get it.
The jersey was like the bottom of the totem pole.
Right.
Kind of stuff.
It's cool, and I get it, but I also needed to be told that was what was going on.
Right.
Like, it wasn't a blatant signal they were sending out, like, oh, look what we're doing. And I feel like that's why they put out the statement like that, because they were trying to justify the things they were doing were good enough. And for me, I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more of an emotional response.
If you wanted to put out a statement, but also make it known that it was Colorado Rockies' decision, you could have just been like, we stand with the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, let them take the lead.
In their decision to not play tonight's game.
Yeah.
We're taking some additional steps. We're going to be wearing, when games return, we're going to be wearing black jerseys. We're going to be making this donation. You know, we want it well known that we don't stand for this injustice in this world.
Instead of juxtaposing what was happening in your locker room with what was happening with theirs, try to bring them together as best you can.
Yeah,
I think that would have been good. Let's talk actual baseball that has been happening. It's not a much better storyline. The Diamondbacks have lost 8 in a row, and this is probably the worst time to have done that because the Diamondbacks are quickly approaching the trade deadline, which is Monday at 1 o'clock. So we are days away from that. It's a weird year, and we've talked about this before. There's probably going to be less teams selling than ever before because more teams than ever before will make the playoffs, so they think they're in it. Less players are available. Money is tight for almost every organization because of the pandemic. So how much of that is going to move? There's no minor leagues going on right now, so you can't even trade players unless they're on your 60-man. There's ways around it, but for the most part, there's a lot of funky rules. But what we wanted to do, we wanted to just give, as we approach the trade deadline, each of us came up with 3 ideas. Well, Derek came up with 4 because he's a contrarian. Trade scenarios.
Overachiever.
Yeah, you're an overachiever for sure.
I know.
These are our ideas for things that the Diamondbacks could do going into the trade deadline on Monday. Bear, do you want to start? Give us some ideas.
Sure.
And we'll react to each idea.
Let's first start off by saying that I don't know the position you guys are going to take here, but I was just wondering, are we all coming from a position as sellers?
No.
You know what's funny?
Okay.
You know what's funny? I came up with this idea the other day, right?
Yeah.
A couple days ago, I texted you guys and said, let's come up with trade scenarios. And all of the ones I did were buying players from other teams to compete. And I went back and redid all of them.
Yeah.
Because this team has to sell.
Yeah, I think that that's a big part of what I have going on. But I think that it's also being very realistic about the scenario. We haven't discussed it yet, but the Diamondbacks have lost Merrill Kelly for the year.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Even if he were to come, and I know they've said he's probably not going to, but even if he did, he wouldn't
have
time to recover. He had
a blood clot in his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not
so
happening.
Right.
He's done.
Right. And so at the very least, at the end of the broadcast that night, they were alluding to him needing Tommy John surgery. So I didn't know what was wrong with him.
Oh, boy.
And that was terrifying. So in a way, the blood clot scenario is actually better than him requiring Tommy John surgery.
Silver lining, I guess, yeah.
Even though it's scary and it was much more dangerous to his health, much more detrimental to have a blood clot than have something go wrong in your arm.
Sure.
Still, though, he'll miss less time and he'll have a better chance of being back to regular form than he would have in any other scenario. It's just with Merrill Kelly being gone and him being that bright spot for the starting rotation, besides Zach Gallen, I can't see a scenario where they're buyers anymore. Mike Hazen was on several of our shows, or at least on Doug and Wolf, and I know I got Bear's transcript from it, but it was more depressing to read in transcript form than it was to listen to on air.
Yeah.
Just because Mike Hazen didn't mince words about how he felt where this team was.
It's true.
He even went as far to say, this is before some of the games got canceled, but a 5-game winning streak would put them back at 500, and that might not even affect their view on being buyers or sellers.
You don't have time to flip the switch.
You know what,
really
Mike?
Don't.
You know what Mike Hazen was? I wanted him to lie to me in that interview. I wanted
he
him for the first.
He doesn't lie though.
He doesn't lie.
He's
way
so
too
honest.
Honest, right? So
let me down easy, Mike.
He was like that doctor, and you're in the hospital, and you're like, "Doc, am I gonna make it?"
No.
And he looks at you and goes, "We're going to do everything we can." You're just yeah, like, yeah. "No, I'm a
that's
dead
not good."
Man.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
so,
what it feels like.
It's sad.
So I have, I have three. Two of them are of the buying
okay.
sort.
Okay, well then go
okay,
first.
Okay, cool.
Bear.
Okay, well you're gonna,
I like your positivity.
Well, you're going to be mad at me because my
it's not JD Martinez again, is it?
All right, number two.
No, no, Bear. No, absolutely not. We're not doing this again.
I say we
the
do it.
The Arizona Diamondbacks should go out and trade for JD Martinez again, Derek. They should do it again. I don't care if they're what is their stupid record right now? What is their record?
13-19.
13-19. This could be an investment for next year as well, because there's no way, there's no way JD Martinez is going to opt out of his contract this year. He is due to make $19 million next year. So you would have him for next year. The only major risk to me, obviously, besides the D-backs wanting to pay him that money next year, is if for some reason MLB does not keep the universal DH. And that the National League will go back to having pitchers hit, because if you trade for JD Martinez and there's no DH, he has nowhere to play.
The Red Sox are 10-21.
They're so bad.
But they're not that different from the Diamondbacks, who are 13-19.
I know! Yeah. But they're so bad, Derek.
What and would you have to give up?
I don't know.
To get JD Martinez.
That's part of the trade scenario, Bear.
Yeah, Bear. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
He's just throwing out names.
He's just throwing
whatever.
Out names.
Flamethrower.
Whatever.
Today.
Give him some prospect. I don't care. Whatever.
I don't care.
All
right. I'm a little bit more pessimistic with my first trade
Wait,
idea.
Are we all going, like, are we going in a circle?
I thought we were just going in a
just
circle.
Just go in a circle.
Okay, yeah, let's go in a circle.
Why not?
It's more of a triangle, I guess.
I'm going to, Kobe would say it's a square. It's Starling Marte to the Philadelphia Phillies.
You guys went way over.
Still, they are still in the contention for this year, for the wild card.
They're a good team.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good, and they need that center field help right now. Their center fielder apparently isn't very good, and he's caused them some defensive issues. So Starling Marte, a two-time Gold Glover, not to mention the fact that he's having a pretty good year offensively. And the Phillies know that if they're going to go after Marte, that it's going to cost them a lot, and I want the bank. I'm going for their top prospect, first baseman Alec Bohm.
Really?
Ooh. Yes.
Isn't he a corner guy? Like, he plays third, right?
He's playing third for them right now, because they have Rhys Hoskins.
Gotcha.
Right.
He's good.
And see, that's the thing. Having Rhys Hoskins, that makes it a little bit easier.
You
want to
bring another first baseman to the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Well, yeah, because we only have one.
Well, there's Kevin Crone, who doesn't play first base anymore.
They've given up on him.
Okay,
that's over.
If that happens, what you would do, if that happens, you would put Ketel Marte out in center field. You can move Eduardo Escobar to second and have Bohm
play third. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like that.
Okay.
As much as I like Starling Marte.
See, my bigger thing is that the team needs to change their eye level, if you will, and they need to start looking a little bit further out. They have a lot of good guys under contract for a while. They're very young. And so far, as we've seen this season, the young guys are the ones that are contributing and performing at a high level. Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Alex Young, and even offensively, Ketel Marte, Eduardo Escobar, those are who this team is going to be built around in the future. You need pieces that are going to be great 2 years from now versus it being a star now. So that's my thought process on their trades.
I also had a Starling Marte trade on my list. I would send Starling Marte and left-handed pitcher Robbie Ray to the New York Yankees for outfielder Clint Frazier, infielder Miguel Andujar, and a prospect, I picked Devi Garcia, who is one of their top pitching prospects, right-hander.
Okay.
Here's my
Sign
thought process.
Me up.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
That's a good deal.
I don't know if the Diamondbacks and the Yankees would both do this deal. I would do it if I were the Diamondbacks, because Clint Frazier gives you youth in the outfield, which is something you just don't have. Mm-hmm. Starling Marte has 1 year next year on a club option.
Yeah.
David Peralta is north of 30. Cole Calhoun is supposedly just kind of like a temporary fix in right field. I don't see him as a long-term option.
Next year would be his last year on his contract. Then he'll sign him to a 2 year.
I like him.
Clint Frazier gives
you... I do too. I love Cole Calhoun.
Clint Frazier would give you your only long-term piece in the outfield. Miguel Andujar, in the short term, could be a DH for the Diamondbacks. He doesn't really have a position. He's not good at third base, but he almost won Rookie of the Year at third base. Mm-hmm. He could play first. He could take that role that Jake Lamb has.
Offensively, though, he could be one of the top guys for this team. And
like you said,
Lavallo likes the versatility and being able to play multiple positions, so that way you can at least fill in and give guys a day off, and he could definitely do that.
The part of the deal that I don't know that the Yankees would want to do is taking Robbie Ray's contract, because I think it is at least like $9 million or something this year. Well, that's before pandemic.
But
And then also, I don't know if they'd give up a top prospect. I really doubt they would. But.
Okay. Can I just, I'll just dive into my next one, and then we'll go back to you, Bear, just because mine was Robbie Ray as a relief pitcher to the Yankees for minor league pitcher Nick Nelson. Just straight up. Mm-hmm. The Yankees lost Zach Britton. They are in desperate need of a left-hand bullpen arm. Not to mention the fact that they're also kind of in need of like somebody who can start.
Robbie Ray's the perfect four-inning guy.
Exactly.
Except for he walked six.
Hey,
I wrote into my trade, every team could use a left-handed reliever, and he can make spot starts. It's exactly what it is.
Right. And going back to that, what you said, Bear, that's fine, but the Yankees are averaging like 10 runs per game. So Robbie Ray, he can be much happier there. I think also it might be too much for Robbie Ray, or it might be the perfect fit just in the concept that the pressure is taken off of him, especially with this team being so bipolar offensively. Like, this team will score no runs for three games and then score 26 runs over two games. You know, it's wild, their output. You can't really predict anymore what they're going to do. That tends to put a lot of pressure on the starting pitcher because they don't know what kind of run support they're going to get on a given night. You go to some place like the Yankees and they're scoring 12 runs in a game. That alleviates a lot of that. You don't care if you walk six and give up three earned because you still did good compared, you know. I don't know. But, yeah, that's why I saw Robbie Ray. And, like, the Diamondbacks have always had kind of an open dialogue with the Yankees.
Up with that?
I don't know, but, you know, it's the 2001 World
Series. But yet
It never happens.
Always a talk, yeah.
Before I give my second one, sign me up for that trade that you just proposed.
I agree.
Please. Because one of my biggest, not regrets because I had nothing to do with the decision, but one of the things that bums me out is that last year the D-backs didn't pull off that trade that was actually rumored to be going on for Robbie Ray to the Yankees for Clint Frazier.
That was talked about like it was a straight up thing.
Well, no, because the Yankees, I believe Brian Cashman came out and said the D-backs wanted too much.
Yeah.
They wanted more
than just
Clint Frazier.
They wanted him and some prospects for Robbie Ray and I don't know who else.
After you see what they did to the Astros, you could totally believe that, though. Because with the Astros, they kept being like, oh, you like that deal? Well, will you throw in Josh Rojas, too?
And Clint Frazier is an automatic starter in the outfield somewhere.
Well, and that's what makes this trade so much more plausible is because Starling Marte tips the scales dramatically. And Clint Frazier, you're right, he's not a starter in New York. Well, he might be right now.
Well, everyone gets hurt on the Yankees.
He and Andujar are totally blocked in New York. But in Arizona, there's holes for them.
Sure. Okay, my second one, you guys might hate me for this too, but it's another buying scenario.
Okay.
They could buy low on this guy, I think, because of stupid things he's done this year.
Okay.
Mike Clevinger from the Cleveland Indians. Look at Derek's eyes. Oh my gosh.
Derek's eyes lit up for Mike Clevinger.
Mike Clevinger is a really solid starting pitcher. Over the last four seasons, he has a 2.97 ERA.
Yep.
You still have 2 years of club control on Mike Clevinger. He's under arbitration in 2021 and 2022 before he hits free agency in his age 32 season.
Yeah, he's 30 now?
He's 30 right now. Okay. Or he'll be 30 next year. Next season he'll be 30. He's 29 this year.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure when his birthday is. But
fair enough.
So, and the D-backs we've seen, we thought this year their strength was going to be their starting pitching and their starting pitching depth. Now we've seen Robbie Ray struggle mightily.
Remember when they had 10 guys in their starting rotation this past
Remember when
spring?
We were like, they might go six because Alex Young, and then Madison Bumgarner has underperformed and got injured. Luke Weaver has been really hit or miss. Merrill
mostly
Kelly
miss.
Was great. mostly miss. Merrill Kelly was great, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt and he's not there. Mike Leake opts out before the season starts. And then you have Taylor Widener and Taylor Clark, who I just don't think are ready to be starting pitchers in this league. Mike Clevinger gives you that number three, number four starter, and that you'll have control of for not minuscule amounts, but depending on his performances, an arbitration type salary for the next 2 years. I'm not sure what you give up for Mike Clevinger.
That was my question, yeah.
If I mean,
because that's going to cost
and
you.
Also, it's not like the Indians are terrible like the Red Sox. The Indians are above 500. They're 19-12 right now. So they're kind of still fighting. I don't think they can catch the Twins, and they'll be probably.
But they don't have to.
They'll probably be battling for second place. So I don't know if they're in the position to be, you know, selling a guy like Mike Clevinger, who has been really solid for them over the past few years. And, you know, but they have been playing. They have been playing winning baseball after he was stupid and went out with Zach Plesac and then got sent down to the minor leagues because he's an idiot. And I don't know if you can get a guy like that, though. That's an autumn. He doesn't really miss many starts besides when he gets sent to the minor leagues because he's a moron. But I don't know. And maybe that's not the kind of guy you want on your team. I don't know. I'm kind of going back and forth on my own trade scenario.
I believe that Steve has a very similar trade. That's for the similar reasons.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it. Do you guys like Mike Clevinger, the pitcher, though?
I think you know what my thought about it is, anytime you can use a scenario and obtain an advantage to get somebody for a cheaper price than you would have because of what's going on, whether they want out of their team, whether
the
their
team might be done with
the
them,
might angry them out. Out, yeah. Right? Yeah. Whatever the scenario. So I'm not above that unless it's really something truly reprehensible that person did.
Domestic violence or something?
Exactly.
No, go for me.
Exactly. No, you hit the nail on the head.
Everything with Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac was they made a stupid decision. They just wanted to go out and have fun.
These are things people... Here's a good example. The LA Lakers and D'Angelo Russell.
Yes.
Totally ticked off his teammates when he... What did he put on Snapchat?
He recorded something. He recorded something.
Yeah, talking about his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend.
She was ex after that.
Ex after that, for sure. Right. And so he couldn't be a Laker anymore. Then he goes off and he's an all-star with Brooklyn.
Right.
And it's like none of his teammates in Brooklyn care that that happened.
Sure.
I think that could be Mike Clevinger.
I mean, you're still not going to trust that person a whole lot, but who cares? We go to work all the time with people that we're not friends with.
Yeah,
Steve.
Like us. Also,
if you give me a 2.97 ERA, average,
problem is Clevinger gets hurt.
I'll look the other way.
Clevinger gets hurt walking to the ballpark.
You're more of the Indians fan than me, but
I'm a huge fan of Clevinger.
Speaking of Indians, let's hear Steve's trade that's related to that whole scenario.
It's almost identical.
Oh, really?
The Arizona Diamondbacks acquire Cleveland Indians right-handed pitcher Zach Plesac, who was... obviously mixed up in the same scenario where he was the reason that Clevinger even got in trouble. Plesac is 25. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been in the majors long, but he's been really, really good. So you'd be taking a little bit more of a flyer than Clevinger. Clevinger's a little more substantial time he spent in the major leagues, a little more proven. Plesac, you would get him. I think he would cost more because Plesac is controllable through 2025. You could hold on to Zach Plesac for a long time, and he and Zach Gallen, the Zachs, could dominate
another rotation
forever. Yeah, the Diamondbacks love Zach, so why not get another one?
Yeah.
In this trade...
How does he spell his? With I think just it's Z-A-K?
I think it's a C-H. C still. Oh, it's a C-H. Oh,
okay. Yeah. In this trade, I'm willing to give up outfielder David Peralta, left-handed pitcher Robbie Ray, and cash to offset that trade.
Interesting.
Now, here's my thought process. The Indians are desperate for outfielders. They have none. They're all awful. And the Indians are desperate to get one. They have tons of starting pitching. I think Clevinger is the higher upside guy. By the way, did you notice? Clevinger's back in pitching for the Indians. Zach Plesac's not.
Right.
So I think they want to get rid of Zach Plesac because he's the issue. And so why not take advantage of that? As for Peralta, it would hurt to lose David Peralta. He's the heart of this team, in my opinion, in a lot of ways. I think Derek even called him the face of the franchise like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It would hurt, no doubt. But we kind of talked earlier about you just need to start of kind of go back down to eye level. We need to figure out where we're going with this team, not where we've been. And I don't think David Peralta is the end of the world if we lose him, if you're getting a guy like Zach Plesac who you control for the next 5 years.
Also, sticking with the Indians, so in one of these trade scenarios, and I know he's struggled pretty bad this year, but we talked about needing a left-handed reliever.
Yeah.
could you maybe get Brad Hand in any of these deals?
You'd have to add a lot more.
Yeah, he's
to get him in this deal,
right? You have control over Brad Hand through next year with a club option of $10 million.
See, but I
don't know if that's worth it though.
Here's the thing though.
He's struggled pretty mightily.
We've talked about converting Robbie Ray to a reliever and possibly making him like a high leverage, multiple inning left-handed guy, right?
Which, by the way, Bob Nightingale has said that a few teams are interested in him as that. It's not just us speculating.
Has anybody thought of the fact that Terry Francona is the one that did that to Andrew Miller?
Right.
Yeah.
He created Andrew Miller
in
Cleveland. Now, Andrew Miller was already relegated to the bullpen by the time he got there.
But he made him that guy that can go
Better to be working for if you're Robbie Ray than Terry Francona and their pitching staff that was able to accomplish that with Andrew Miller? I don't know. Maybe it works.
I like it.
I like it for Plesac because you can hold on to Plesac a lot longer than you can hold on to Clevinger.
Yeah.
And you don't have to give up as much, I think. Derek, what's your next one?
My next one is Robbie Ray, Jake Lamb, and cash considerations to the Baltimore Orioles just for a second round draft pick.
Can you trade picks now?
I don't know. I just want them off the team.
You don't even know if it's allowed.
I was just like, you know what? This is what I would have to give them up, and that's what I would need to take those two on, is give me some cash.
That's my third one. It's kind of the same thing. Not necessarily Jake Lamb, but if you can find any trade to send Robbie Ray somewhere.
Any trade.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
Even if you have to pay money?
It depends on what you're getting.
Because I noticed that Derek and I both included cash in our deals for the last two.
I'm just saying that's my third, it's not really a scenario, but wish. If you find a trade partner that is willing to take Robbie Ray and give you something in return, you have to do it. He is a free agent after this year. He is giving you no chance to win when he goes out there every fifth day. It's just he's a mess. Every time he takes the mound, there's something new with his delivery. He's lost. He's lost. And if you can get someone, and you'd have to risk him going somewhere and figuring it out. I get that.
Sure.
It's happened here before where guys have left and have become amazing pitchers. But I feel like in those past scenarios where maybe they gave up on a guy like Max Scherzer too quickly, Trevor Bauer too quickly for different reasons other than pitching bad. He was just a weird guy that didn't get along with Miguel Montero. And they chose
They chose
Miguel Montero over Trevor Bauer.
Bad choice.
But, he might be the best pitcher in baseball right now, by the way.
And he might get traded.
He could.
Yeah. But this is a different scenario than I think that where they gave up on a guy too quickly. I think they've given Robbie Ray enough chances. I'm kind of sick and tired of hearing people from the team say that he has ace potential. He does not have ace potential.
He has high strikeout potential.
Yes.
That's it.
And they keep going back to what he did in 2017. And honestly, 2017 was the outlier. He has never put together a season even remotely close to 2017 since then. And so the fact that you say he can do this when he's only done it one time is ridiculous. And if you can find a team willing to trade for Robbie Ray and give you something decent in return, not saying you have to get a high prospect or a bunch of money or a major league ready pitcher or position player, if you get something of a decent value for Robbie Ray from a team, you have to do that trade. You have to pull it off. You have to.
Solid member of the field crew. Doesn't matter. Anybody. Good concession
stand
worker.
A nice washing machine. Yeah. A turkey leg. Anything.
I think they're running out of bubble gum. So
I'll give you guys my last one because I think this could be interesting.
Okay.
We haven't yet talked about the Arizona Diamondbacks closer, Archie Bradley.
He's come up a lot.
What if they traded Archie Bradley to a team with a massively struggling bullpen in the Cincinnati Reds? And in return, received outfielder Aristides Aquino. Aquino is currently blocked in the Cincinnati Reds organization. They have plenty of good outfielders, and he just can't find a spot in that outfield. In Arizona, he might be able to be the fourth or fifth outfielder, depending on who you think the backups are in the outfield in Arizona. He could be a DH in the current terms. If the DH sticks around past 2020, Aristides Aquino might not be the worst option that you have at that position. I think he could maybe be a... We talked about the Diamondbacks don't have a lot of pop in their lineup. He could bring a little bit of pop. And he hasn't been hitting great recently, but he's also not been given a lot of at-bats because of the players that are in front of him. What do you guys think about the opportunity of possibly getting a bat for Archie Bradley?
I just say Archie hasn't been good enough to not consider that four. I think the offense, the offense could use whatever help it can. At times it feels like some guys are wasted for their efforts, but it's also been a collective effort of them being bad at times offensively. So I don't know. I think that the one thing with losing Archie is you're losing a leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
So then that changes the dynamic of the team a lot. If you feel like that's not going to impact your team in a big way, I'm not in the clubhouse with that door closed. I know how Archie is with us as the media, and he's outspoken, and he doesn't mind saying what's on his mind and saying what's on his team's mind, even if that means that he's going to be looked at as a certain way for being vocal about that stuff. It's hard to find, because when you're in a clubhouse and baseball players are answering questions, they just want us to go away. They just want to give us the minimal effort sometimes, because they don't really want to tell us what's on their mind, because they'll get fined for it. They'll curse. They'll do a bunch of stuff if they really let out and like said what they wanted to say. So they all have to be very restrained about it. And I feel like Archie does a good job of expressing himself in a positive way, like in a productive way, not being just completely negative.
Fans love him.
Right. And I think that's important too. I think that the Diamondbacks are in a difficult stage of rebuilding and still are trying to find that fan favorite that could replace, that gold plate at first base. There's not a lot of people that are going to fill people's, the hearts of the people like that. That's why I thought of David Peralta as being very similar to Goldschmidt in the fact that he has a great story. Mm-hmm. He was a pitcher that couldn't pitch anymore and converted to this outfielder and is a really good outfielder.
He hits like 290.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how good he is considering his history as a baseball player.
Sure.
I think that's my biggest problem. It's not losing Archie as a player, because I feel like there's probably even better relievers that we could acquire.
This bullpen needs a makeover, a full makeover.
I agree with that.
I think when we added Junior Guerra and Hector Rondon in the offseason, we all looked at each other like that was going to be like,
that was
it was going to stabilize
Hector
it.
Hector Rondon has been terrible.
It was not
so
good.
Bad.
Right. It was not good.
As a matter of fact,
they
the
need
best
a whole
move,
overhaul.
The best move was putting Alex Young in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Just to
he's
have
probably their best
arm.
Reliever.
And
besides
now
Archie.
And now he's back in the rotation.
Just looking at Aquino's numbers here, last year he didn't play very much.
Nope.
He only played 54 games, but he hit 19 home runs. 56 games, and he hit 19 home runs. And I'm just looking at his defense, because he would most likely, unless there's a DH, have
he'd
to play in the outfield. And he's actually, a decently good fielding outfielder. He had a 98% fielding percentage. He only made two errors out in the outfield. He had three outfield assists. So, I mean, you can stick him in right or left field and probably feel pretty comfortable, but he'd probably be a DH. And then like what you said about Clint Frazier, this would be a kind of a move that would give you a lot of control over a guy. He is under club control through 2025 as well. So that would be an investment for the long-term future.
Are we going back on trades? We're going backwards on trades, aren't we? These
well,
are trades
he's
we already
comparing
talked
how good all of my
I
trades
get what
are.
You're saying. I'm excited
comparing
to give
it,
you my last
Derek,
trade,
he was
though.
Complimenting me, and you had to step in?
That's what, yeah, because I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to move on, all right?
I accept that.
I have my favorite trade.
Oh,
I think
here
the
we go.
Most important
here we go.
One, and
okay.
that is...
I already said J.D. Martinez.
No,
Derek.
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. This is the Arizona Diamondbacks trading their ball humidor to the Milwaukee Brewers for Bernie's slide. Now, hear me out. There's a reason, thought process, whole thing behind this. The Milwaukee Brewers, it's all very, very humid in Milwaukee.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I've never been.
They're like... they're,
I was supposed to go for the
pH
convention.
Level is above 67, Steve. So when it's above 67 as an average, it tends to mean it's a moist city. So with the moistness of the city and
please
adding the humidor... I'm just saying they'll have a moist ball, right? So ball will be very heavy. They lost Lorenzo Cain due to opting out for the season, which is their center fielder. So they're having outfield issues. This would cause so many more infield ground balls for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Derek right now is like explaining when you get to the end of a mystery movie and you figured it all out and you pieced it all together.
I did. Now, Bernie's slide being added to the pool, that's a no-brainer, guys.
What would you be coming down from?
You would be coming down from the level up above
the upper deck?
No. We could do
the
Bud Light strike zone or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the slide
could go up. You could add a ladder
from
to
the roof.
You could make it bigger. You could do it from the upper.
Could you
imagine seeing when they hit a home run, Baxter slide down the slide into the pool?
You know what? The Brewers are 13-17. They might be in a position to sell.
Right. See?
I think
we're coming out on top in that deal.
I think the two parks were built by the same designer.
I know, Steve. I know.
So they fit perfectly.
Exactly.
Everything fits.
It's perfect.
Is that for real?
Yeah, the Brewers is also a airplane hangar designed in the exact same way. They just don't have the retractable roof, right? Or the roof move?
They do. I believe their roof.
Okay.
I believe their roof opens.
Okay.
I don't know. Never been there.
That would make sense. No,
maybe
it looks exactly like
it. Maybe it doesn't. I have no idea.
I don't know. But yeah.
Wow. Interesting trade idea.
Humidor for slide, straight up.
El Humidor.
No cash consideration. No, I didn't say El Humidor.
Oh, okay.
He still lives in left field these days.
Gotcha.
He's a part of this team.
Was that your last trade?
That was it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. That was four.
That's good.
Well, my favorite trade is the one that Steve presented with Clint Frazier.
I don't know.
That's the
one.
Yeah,
was Starling Marte and Robbie Ray to the Yankees for Clint Frazier, Miguel Andujar, and I put Devi Garcia because he's like the ultimate right-handed prospect that they have, but ultimately you're probably going to get somebody less. But I don't know. All good ideas, guys.
If they didn't want to acquire Robbie Ray last year for whatever Mike Hazen was asking for, they're probably not going to give you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. They might not make any moves. That might be the smartest decision.
Honestly, there has been talk of that. Should they just not do anything and then bring this core back and see what they can do in 162 games? I don't know if that's the right answer either. I don't know.
Here's the wild
thing.
Here's the wild thing.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. Here's the wild thing. Stop. Don't move. Keep your hands right there.
Stay there.
They're three games out of a wild card.
I know.
Position.
This sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the worst part about it. And we've seen this team be so streaky that you have no idea what to expect.
Did you sell out for a wild card? Remember when the A's sold out and they traded for John Lester and all those other guys?
And they lost.
Now this team has so many gaps between them and the elite teams in this league. That's really what it comes down to. You have to compare yourself to how good some of these other teams are, like the Dodgers and even the Padres in our own division, right? I know we swept the Padres. That was very fluky, and I don't think that that's indicative of what
the Padres are good. They're like weirdly good.
But the Diamondbacks do hold the longest home winning streak against the Padres that they've ever had in organization history, and that happened as of that sweep.
What's crazy is, and just thinking about what you said, that they're still on the hunt for a wild card spot while being 13-19 and losing 8 straight games, you almost have to kind of ignore the standings, and you have to look at your team and the players and how they're playing and say, can this team win me a World Series this year?
Right.
And that's so hard to even
predict. And not only this year, but
2, 3, 4 years
down the road.
And then you have to weigh whether or not you're going to buy and then give up valuable prospects that can help your team in 2 or 3 years or 4 years, and then for maybe a guy that will be here for 2 years. I don't know. It's just, this is a year, like, I bet we don't really see much action at all at the trade deadline, to be honest with you. I think the Dodgers will probably acquire someone that puts them in
a good
position.
It's all been small trades so far.
Yeah, like Gerard Dyson got traded today to the White Sox.
Small trade.
Okay.
But the White Sox are becoming a good team.
Sure.
And what they're doing is
all their guys are homegrown,
right.
Besides Grandal and Keuchel.
Like, I think Jimenez is playing the outfield, but I saw him make a atrocious play the other day.
Oh, yeah. Also, they traded
Jumped
Jimenez
into the net.
Yeah,
like, what are you doing, dude?
So I wouldn't be surprised if
they traded for what?
Jimenez. Jimenez was from the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when they had every prospect under the sun?
Yeah.
And then they had to trade a bunch of them, like Gleyber Torres and Eloy Jimenez.
Eloy Jimenez is a beast.
You guys know the meme where it's the guy walking with his girl and then he turns around and is looking at the other girl?
Yeah.
Someone did that with. It said, like, the guys, they put the MLB logo of the guy's face, and then
he's holding the hand of Javi Baez and he's looking back and going, you know, looking at Fernando Tatis.
Yeah, because the White Sox traded away Tatis, right?
They did.
For James Shields.
Oh.
I think the Rays got something good for Shields, too, and I can't remember what it was.
Rays are in first place in the...
Rays are good.
In the AL East?
That doesn't even surprise me anymore.
Shut up.
If you want to check out more about our trade ideas, except for Derek's, we're going to try to leave that out of the article.
Oh, no, man. I'm going to add more detail as to why the Bernie slide one is a good trade.
Check it all out at arizonasports.com.
Whoever edits that story is going to be like, what the hell?
It's going to be Derek. Derek will edit the story. It's unfair. Check it out at arizonasports.com. We thank you so much for listening. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher as well. It is the Ain't No Fang podcast here at arizonasports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.